RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You're listening to 30 Mindless Minutes, part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com and all your favorite podcasting platforms. Remember, always use your head. Lend me your ears and welcome back to another episode of 30 Mindless Minutes. I am DJ. For those of you that have been listening all along, thank you. For those of you that are new, welcome aboard. Got a really fun episode this week that may actually turn into a two-parter. I've got my friend Johnny on here. Johnny's big gamer, big WWE wrestling fan, but he's also a gaming streamer. And we're going to talk a little bit of gaming here today. As I told you guys at the onset of this, and the mission statement was to present different content every week, talk to different people, and kind of spotlight just daily life and people as they're living it and things that they like to do. Johnny, welcome to 30 Mindless Minutes.
Thank you for having me.
So, Johnny, I want to get in here real quick. So, you're a gamer. Yes, obviously, this is we want to talk about.
Let's start by the tattoos.
The tattoos, and you and I have talked at great length about gaming on the app formerly known as Twitter, not only publicly, but in chat privately. We've had a lot of talks about different games, and you and I share similar interests. The biggest difference that we'll talk about in a little bit is that you are predominantly an Xbox guy versus a PlayStation guy. We can talk about that in a few. Let's start with your gaming journey. When did that start, and what was the first platform that you gamed on?
My journey, I don't remember how old I was, to be frank. I'm kind of surprised my mom actually bought me this game. I was a little kid. I was like 6 or 7, and she got me the original Mortal Kombat one. And I believe it was on the SNES version. It was the uncensored one. I don't remember which one it was.
Yeah, I think I had that one. I don't know if that was on the Super Nintendo or if it was on the next generation Sega.
There was like 10 ports of them. So it was on everything. But I got the original first console that it was on. So
okay. Yeah. So your gaming goes quite a ways back, at least to Super Nintendo.
Yeah,
the Super Nintendo, which was like my fourth, because I go all the way. I'm an old dude. I go all the way back to the original Atari.
So I'm getting there. I'll be there soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, so let's talk about your gaming journey. You've discovered Mortal Kombat. Were there any other games back then that you were super? Because like all the kids, especially of a certain age, Mortal Kombat was kind of taboo for kids of a certain age because of the content and things like that. You're a bit younger than I am, and that came out probably in my late teens, early 20s. So obviously I was age, would have made you younger. So talk to me a little bit more about that.
I was -1 when the game came out. So it might have been taboo, but all the kids were playing it in the arcades and stuff like that. But so I was a Mortal Kombat child. I was also a bit of a Doom child. Like I played the demo where it had the first level available but for the most part, I was a Nintendo guy up until, I got to the Xbox 360 generation. It was either choose that or a PlayStation 3. Unfortunately, the pawn shop guy sold the last PlayStation 3, so we got an Xbox, and that's when I fell in love with Gears of War.
That was going to be something that I was going to bleed into was you are, predominantly an Xbox. I know you did recently buy a PS5 this year for specific games, and now I kind of have my answer as to why Xbox versus, because there is always a bit of tribalism in the console. That was what, Stellar Blade?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Stellar Blade.
More than just looks, it is a fantastic combat system.
I've seen some of the gameplay on that. It looks gorgeous. Like, just an aesthetic standpoint, it looks like a gorgeous game. But so from a gaming standpoint, and I know some people just have there's tribalism. People just pick one over the other for ridiculous reasons. Other people, it's a bit more practical. Up until recently, certain games were exclusive to Xbox and or PlayStation. Was that your situation? Because I know you like, you know, the Gears of War, and you liked the, were you a Halo guy too?
I was not much of a Halo fan. Like, I respected what it did. I can recognize greatness without actually being a part of it. Tribalism was never really my thing. I'm not into this whole Xbox versus PlayStation, AEW versus WWE type stuff. I tend to avoid that now as I get later up in my years because I'm 33 now and I ain't got time for that.
Right.
But I was never a big fan of exclusivity. So I think that if I love, say, Gears of War, I want more people to play it. More people to play it gives them more funding, and then they can make more. Regardless, the game was successful. But if you truly love something, you want everybody to be able to experience it. I only got the Xbox 360 because that was available, and then my neighbor at the time gave me Gears of War 2 because he didn't enjoy it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, my gaming goes all the way back to the original, obviously back to the Atari, but the first system I remember buying for myself was the original PlayStation. And just thinking, you know, what a leap forward from the Sega Dreamcast and the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
Oh, yeah.
Just graphically, I mean, we went from cartridges to discs, and discs were such a leap forward in the whole thing. So for me, it was an availability thing. Xbox wasn't a thing, you know, when I started gaming. My friend had the first original Xbox. He got that versus the PlayStation. And I'll ask you in a minute because, I'll come to you because you're the guest. But I personally never had a gaming preference one over the other. I had friends that preferred they thought graphically the games were better on Xbox. They thought they moved a little faster. Loading time with PlayStation sometimes was an issue with the games. And they didn't have that much of an experience with that on the Xbox. Do you, as you've exposed yourself a bit more to the PlayStation console system, do you have a preference of one versus the other, and why is that?
I would have to say my main preference is still the Xbox, mainly for the controller. So I'm an action RPG and fighting game type guy. Now, granted, fighting games are better with a PlayStation controller because of the stick location. But since I primarily play action RPGs, shooters, and fighting games, I prefer the stick to be in front of my thumb instead of beside it. So that way it's easier to move forward and evade and stuff like that instead of having my thumb always to the side and giving me gamer grip.
Great. So, I got you. Yeah. See, I found, and like I said, this is only because I was used to the PlayStation controller when I would go over to my friend's house, because we used to play when Ukes had the old WCW games, WCW versus NWO and all the stuff like that. Loved those games. I lost months of my life at my friend's house playing those on his Xbox. But I always found, until I got used to it, the Xbox controller to be a little bit awkward. But that was just familiarity with, you know, with the PlayStation stick.
Yeah. Yeah, so the first PlayStation console I had, I believe I had the PlayStation 1 for like 2 months before it broke down, because all the consoles we had up until I got an Xbox One was always used, and they never lasted long. The longest console tenure I had before I got my Xbox One was actually, because I got the 360 2 years after the Xbox One came out. So I didn't leap forward in generations until years later, which is something people are experiencing now because of terrible pricing. But
that's a real thing. And, you know, back in my early gaming days, I didn't have a great job. I had a minimum wage job, and being a responsible adult, you know, obviously rent and food and electricity and things like that come first. Gaming was always secondary. And if I could afford something, I would. But my first PlayStation was a hand-me-down. My PS2 was a refurbished one. I think my PS and actually the SNES that I had was a gift. That was a Christmas gift from this girl I was dating. Her aunt and uncle bought it for us for Christmas 1 year. The first brand new console I ever paid for on my own, I believe was my first PS3. I think I bought that brand new, but then when I moved back from New York, I put it in a box with some other things, and one of the things was a bottle of cologne. The cologne tipped over, dumped in it, and fried it. I don't even remember what game it was, but I lost a game in that game because I couldn't plug it in, turn it on, and get the game out. So my next PS3.
I'm so glad we're past those days.
Yeah. Well, and that leads me into another question. Do you prefer digital or do you prefer physical media with that?
I prefer it's hard to say now because, like, if you were to buy, which is one of my favorite modern games, Doom the Dark Ages, it's just a key card. It's a paperweight. You put it in and the disc itself is a paperweight. You put it in, you download it, and that's how you play. I prefer to get my game physically. And then if I enjoy it enough to where I know I'm going to play it multiple times or do multiple playthroughs, I will buy the digital version and download it and keep the physical version as like a collectible or a trophy or something like that.
Yeah.
So I do prefer physical because it's more ownership, but digital is probably the most convenient way to go now. It's kind of like the same with music.
Yeah, that's kind of the way that you know, media in general has shifted. Movies, you know, we've been heading that way for a while. I was probably one of the last of the Luddites as far as all that goes. I still have a couple of physical games here only because, you know, I've got Elder Scrolls for PS4, Skyrim, Until Dawn, and then Diablo 3, which the problem that I'm running into right now is all of those games were on the PS4, and since they were my PS5 is strictly digital. Like, it was just cheaper. It was cheaper to buy the digital and then upgrade the memory, which is what I just did about a month ago. But now I have all these games that I can't play unless I buy them again in digital form.
Well, there is something else you can do. If it's compatible, you can buy a disc drive. But that's like almost $100.
Yeah. Well, so, I'm looking at least four games that I would have to buy brand new. There's $100 there.
That's almost $200 right there. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think Diablo 3, I think I saw for like $25, but Skyrim and Elder Scrolls, both of them are still running $50 to $60 to buy brand new.
Just wait. They're probably planning a re-release of Skyrim as we're finished doing this podcast right now. So,
well, I think Elder Scrolls 6 is in the works anyway. Well, it has been for the last 10 years, I think.
Oh, so. Dude, man. I had just graduated to the Xbox One when that's what it felt like.
Yeah. So I'm holding on to it. Like I said, I may try. I didn't even know that
I got a pretty small collection right here. So,
but small. I've got four in my hand. Actually, there's some other ones in my son's room. My son still has my old PS4. And occasionally he throws it in and plays it. He plays like Ark and Terraria and some other stuff. And he was a Minecraft kid. Like that kid lost years of his life playing Minecraft. And every now and then he plugs back in. He's gotten more into PC gaming since he had a PC built, and he goes on there and does all his stuff.
I got a funny story about Minecraft that'll only take 30 seconds. I was in high school. I think it was my first year in high school when that came out, something like that. It was first or second. And Minecraft became such a huge pop culture icon at the time, and it's probably up there with Goku or Mickey Mouse or something because of how I think it just recently beat Tetris as the most sellingest game of all time. But it became so popular that our school actually had to ban the website and then make a physical rule in the student handbook saying no Minecraft on computer servers.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Yeah, I think once you get a well-selling toy line out of a video game. And there's like, you go to Walmart or Target or anything like that, and they have like a whole section that's just Minecraft toys. My girlfriend's grandkid, he's heavy into Minecraft. It's Minecraft everything right now. Like, he had a Minecraft Christmas. So it's still very, very much a thing. I'm sure it has its value. I'm sure it has its place in the game. It's never been a thing for me, mainly because in my head, I've moved on from, what are they, 16-bit graphics?
Yeah.
It's 16-bit graphics, and I can't get my head out of the fact that it's 16-bit. I mean, how are kids enjoying this?
Surprisingly, if you get it on PC, you can download a realistic textures mod. And sure, we're talking people who do mods for they do it entirely for free, so it's an entire passion product. I think there is a paid pack that does realism, but some of these texture packs are just insanely beautiful. Like there are some for Halo, there's some for Mass Effect, which you need to play Andromeda. I don't care what anybody says. Phenomenal game. But I think it's more or less the wholesome appeal of Minecraft versus the actual realism. Like, it's a basic game. You pick stuff up, you put it down, like my job. And the graphics don't really matter because it's just such a fun game to get lost in. You say, I'm going to sit down for 30 minutes, and before you know it, you're late for your job 2 days later.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, as I say, I never really got into Minecraft. Those are the kinds of games I like. Like, you're into the fighting games and the action type games, and I enjoy those. My sweet spot, because I'm not a gamer. I play, but I'm not like a gamer, and my gaming habits are weird. Like, I'll sit down and play a game and I'll lose the whole day. Like, the first time I finally sat down and played the Mass Effect trilogy, I lost days and days and days of my life when I finally got engrossed in it. And there's a story about that I'll tell in a minute. But then I'll go weeks, not touch anything, come back and play for 15 minutes. I'm like, now I'm not in the mood for this, you know, and I'll just walk away from it. Minecraft is the type of game I like because I like a game just because of my habits. I can put it down, come back, and I'll know exactly where I'm at, and I can just pick right back up. It's a nice, lazy, kind of go-at-your-own-pace type of game, whereas like a Mass Effect, it's story driven, and I'll get to a cutscene. I'm like, well, shit, I got to sit through the cutscene to get to the next part. But then I'm like, okay, I got 10 more minutes. I'll just play for 10 more minutes. Next thing you know, I've got another 10-minute cutscene. I used to run into goddamn Hideo Kojima. I love him to death. Metal Gear Solid used to kill me because I would beat a section in Metal Gear, and then my wife's like, okay, we got to go. Are you done? I'm like, there's a cutscene, and it's like a 15-minute sprawling epic of a cutscene, and she's just tapping her foot looking at me like an asshole. So... I have to time out my gaming. But yeah, I like games like that, or like world builders, not unlike a SimCity or something like that, where I can just kind of go at my own pace. That's more
You ain't got to worry about pace breakers or interruptions. You go in, build what you want, and you could stop and there could be a creeper or a zombie in front of you, and then you could pick right back up 10 days later, forget that there's a creeper in front of you, and then...
just keep it moving.
So they actually banned Minecraft while I was in the middle of fighting near a spawner, and then when I got home and because I moved the save to my house because we did have a PC at that time. This was back when they were just giant blocks and then big CRT thickness monitors, and I managed to retrieve the file with the permission from the school and move it to my PC before we lost it a few weeks later. And my first experience playing Minecraft again, like 10 days later, was forgetting that I was in, next to a creeper spawner, and there was just like five of them around me. And that was my welcome back.
Yeah, it was funny watching that game through my son's eyes, because again, he's at the time, let's see, he's going to be 21. So he was probably 12, 13. So he sees the creepers, they spawn, he freaks out, he does his thing. And I'm just looking at him like, so it's fascinating to watch. What's really neat about Minecraft is that it does kind of spawn that creative side, because I've seen, even in the 16-bit, I've seen some incredible builds.
Oh, like somebody made Helm's Deep from Lord of the Rings 2. Somebody made, what was it? It was the big battle from the third one before they approached the Black Gates.
Yeah, no, was it Minas Tirith?
It was the one that had the pseudo king guy that eventually ran off
It had the steward. That was Minas Tirith.
Yeah, somebody created that to scale inside of Minecraft.
I've seen Hogwarts. Somebody else did something that involved an expansive caving system, and they made all the caves, and the caves were like just ridiculously. Who has that kind of time?
Somebody made a working supercomputer inside of that game.
I saw that. I think you may have shared that on Twitter. Is that somebody did that? I was like, what in the hell is this?
Creativity is what it is.
It is. And it's fascinating. Like I said, the graphics always kind of turned me off. But I, again, being somebody who likes those creative world builders, you know, it's a game I'm going to talk about here in a few minutes. I found that aspect of it fascinating and very neat. But again, just the graphics, maybe if I could get past the graphics, it'd be a different experience for me.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
So let's move on here just a little bit. So you, like I said, we've talked a lot of consoles. I know recently you just built your own PC. So is the PC gaming a new thing? I know you just said, you know, in high school you played Minecraft and things like that.
Yeah.
But the PC gaming, where, how long have you been like PC gaming, and how long has it been? Was it like a casual thing and now it's become your go-to? How'd that work?
I only had access to gaming on a PC for like 6 months at some point when I was like around the time Minecraft came out, because the PC ended up frying because somebody was walking by it with a coffee mug.
Yeah.
Go further.
Oh, God.
And the only other experience I had with PC was when I was working, or when I was going to school in at my high school, and they had a technical center that I went to, and that's when Minecraft got banned. Other than that, I've never been on PC. This is the first time I've been on it, and I am currently playing a game that I do highly recommend to people, and it's, when I played it on console, my console chugged like crazy. It was scorching. It was more scorching than the gates to hell because of how hard it was. And it was barely being able to keep up at 60. Here I am playing it on my PC. My PC's as chill as an ice cube, running at 200 frames a second at max settings.
That's crazy.
I feel like I'm about to slip out of my chair from how smooth it was.
Oh, that's
so cool. Yes.
So let's talk about your PC gaming here just a bit. What's the game?
So I was actually playing it before we got started. It's Lords of the Fallen. Mm. And as you can see, I'm actually watching YouTube while gaming on here. So that's one of the benefits right there. So this game does not run too well on console. It does on PS5 Pro and Xbox Series X. But if you're buying a regular PS5 or Xbox Series S, Jesus Christ, Microsoft. I wish they were better at naming their consoles.
Yeah.
This one was the main game that wanted me to get PCs, is because they're actually going to be releasing the sequel to this here sometime this year. And this is one of the most creative games I've seen in a really long time, because it has new mechanics I've never seen before and stuff like that. And the developers are really active on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
And, I was just talking to one of them right before this. And so,
See, you quote a lot, and I see you argue with a lot of people over their numbskull gaming opinions and things like that. But you also, and this again is what got me wanting to bring you on here, because you are so active in that community, talking with people, actually talking to developers and things like that. So I always found it fascinating, because I'm not that type of gamer. And, you know, people who are really, really, really good at it, I've always found, you know, that to be very fascinating and very neat. So, like, obviously you're not going to get rid of your consoles, but are you starting to lean more towards the PC gaming?
I am. I will not be buying any more games on consoles, because it's too much of a money sink. Like, granted, my PC was not cheap,
right?
But any game that I buy on PC, I don't have to worry about it going away when there's a next generation refresh or anything like that. I don't have to pay for online service, which is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. Having to pay to access the internet you already pay for. Don't have to pay for next gen upgrades. Modding, modding community on PC, like there are the funniest thing I've ever seen. Somebody changed the Tree Sentinel in Elden Ring to Thomas the Choo Choo Engine.
Oh, jeez, that's funny. So, that's funny.
Like, it kind of adds so much infinite replay value to any game you play, even if it's just a skin for a character, because it's something new. Like, somebody took a boss from Dark Souls 3. They took Slave Knight Gale and put him into the Elden Ring DLC. They randomized the bosses. They've randomized the items. They've changed boss behaviors. If you get on PC and you can access mods, you can take this $60 game and it could last you for the rest of your life. Like, I put 2,000 hours into Elden Ring since it came out 4 years ago.
Well, while we've still got a few more minutes, and this is absolutely going to be two episodes because I'm only about halfway through the topics that I wanted
and
to
I can't, talk to you I about. Can't stop talking.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's okay. This is why I knew you would be a great guest, because I know you like to talk. And I don't mean that as an insult. I just mean you were going to be someone I could really engage with. Tell me a little bit about the mods and talk to me like I'm five, because, again, I don't know a lot of this stuff. With, like, PlayStation or Xbox or something, where would one get, like, mods for that type of thing?
Yeah, let me pull it up right now.
And I'm going to take notes.
So there's this place called Nexus Mods, and you can download pretty much anything on here. I'll pull it up right fast.
Yeah, I mean, this is an audio medium, so nobody's going to see it, so.
Okay. Well, you go to this website, Nexus Mods, and you just type in the game, and then you can find literally anything. Like, there's this one that adds seamless co-op to Elden Ring, which makes it to where you can summon in a friend, and they can stay with you forever. But the way co-op works in it is you have to write a message on the ground, then the person has to summon you, and when you kill the boss, they disappear, and you got to do it all over again. So, you can find mods for any game. If it's on PC, you can find mods for it, like Thomas the Choo Choo Engine. There's great mods that just completely redo the whole game. There's mods that fix bugs and glitches, Bethesda.
I'm playing Mass Effect Andromeda right now, and I ran into a big bug in one of the sections here, and I got so pissed off the other day, I just put it away and found something.
I think I know what bug it is. This is one of the bugs I encountered. It's like when you're inside of one of the metal tombs, and there's a door that won't open, and you have to reload the checkpoint to get the door to reactivate, and that happened to me repeatedly.
This one is, I'm in like a temple, and you have to find these glyphs. There's these people that are kind of frozen in like suspended animation, and you have to find these glyphs and activate this console. You can't activate the console until you find the glyphs to reanimate the people. Well, I can't find the third glyph. And dude, I went on ChatGPT. I spent like an hour, and I'm arguing with ChatGPT at this point. I think ChatGPT was getting pissed at me at this point. I'm like, okay, that didn't work either. That didn't work. At the point where I'm about to cuss at my phone. So I'm like, that didn't work. That didn't work. That didn't work. They're like, okay, here's what we recommend. Just get out of the whole area. Come back. Get on your ship. Go back. Come back to the planet. Go back to the place. It'll reset everything. And it did say that this was a known bug in the game. And that's really the only way to fix it is to completely get out of my... I'm not doing all that. Because it took me 20 friggin' minutes to get here. I've already been playing for 2 hours. And I've been arguing with you for an hour.
So you got to fly away so that way some ancient Templar remembers to put down the symbol you need, essentially.
Yeah, no, that just sounds terrible. That's not a fun time gaming for me. But at the end of the day, if that's the only way to do it, I'll probably do that, because I am enjoying Mass Effect Andromeda. Now, it's decidedly different in tone and feel and obviously characters to the Mass Effect trilogy, but I didn't love it for the first day that I started playing it. But as I'm getting into the lore and I see what they're doing, it's actually kind of engaging.
That was the same way with me. I didn't love it until after I got like halfway through the sand planet.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't even gotten that. I don't even think I'd have to look at the percentage. May only be about 10 to 14% of the way through the game. Like, I'm literally at the early stages of this game.
It took me 80 hours to beat the whole game, and I didn't look up any guys out, and I was very thorough.
So. It almost took me 80 hours to find that damn glyph. On that note, why don't we call the episode here? We are going to come back next week. I'm going to continue this discussion with Johnny. We're going to have a really good time. I got a lot more I want to talk to him about. but we are just about out of time this week. I want to thank all of you for listening to another episode of 30 Mindless Minutes. I get you out of here in a half an hour or less because I know you got shit to do. Intro music provided royalty-free by Audionautics. That's www.audionautics.com. My go-to for all my podcasting royalty-free music needs.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.